everybody, and welcome into the Steakhouse. My name is Sandra Golden. Steak is on vacation. He is learning how to salsa dance in Barcelona as we speak. I will put up the video. And I'm thrilled to have Bo Squidbilly from The Morning Shift co-hosting today.
I love hosting this show with you. It's so much fun.
Thank you. I love that you're, first of all, y'all, we got a real, true life, important person coming on at 10:20, the commish. Greg Sankey's coming on at 10:20.
Now, are you going to make me leave for that? Because that's kind of like an interview I'm not used to getting. They don't put important people
that's
in front
true.
Of me.
That's not true. Y'all, I love how I got, like, literally notes on questions and homework done. I was impressed with what was going on with you. Thank you for preparing your questions in order.
I don't get to interview people that wear suits on a daily basis, Sandra. I'm serious. Like, I don't interview the head of Delta, like, whenever I want. Like, they normally are like, hey, here's a guy in sweatpants. Talk to him.
That's not true.
But
y'all,
I'm excited for it.
It is a great day to have him because the headlines yesterday from SEC Media Days actually came from the Big Ten, where the Big Ten says, I'm going to dig in my heels and we ain't going to this 11-5 model, 5-11 model, until the SEC goes to 9 games. So your move, SEC. So we'll talk to him exactly like now what happens.
Do you feel like, and Abe and I were talking about this on earlier in the morning show, I think Abe had a good point. Do you feel like Sankey kind of played the Big Ten a little bit because they're like, hey, they kind of read the room, and that was a sticking point. So they're like, you know what, we're going to hold off on that. Because I think ultimately whenever they did go to 16, they kind of expected it might go there. But the longer they held out, it now becomes a leverage, right? And
yeah.
And it's a bargaining chip. And if that's all it takes to get what I want. But also – and I don't want to go too down the road because I know you got other stuff you want to get to, but
yeah, I got to talk about y'all's ordering of drinks at some place called Cancun's that actually is a plural. I don't know what's going on in your life, so
yeah,
I know you want to talk
Mexican
sports.
Joint.
That's really not what we do on this show.
But I think the 5-11, if we have to have 16, which I don't want, and I know that I'm fighting a losing battle, but if we're gonna go, 5-11 is the healthiest thing for the sport, not. Where I gotta
it's like, not the healthiest thing for the Big Ten.
Well,
so you understand they're like, well, we want to at least guarantee that we get four. Which, by the way, we should explain to everybody, the 4-4-2-2-3 model is on the table for the Big Ten, which would mean the SEC gets four and the Big Ten, they're guaranteed four spots in this playoff. The SEC would like five conference chance and then 11 at large, which is the best of the best, right?
Yeah, which could one year be Ohio State in Oregon, Michigan, or Penn State, or any of those interchangeable, but one and one, so they only get two, maybe three, and then it could be six or seven SEC teams. I think last year they had 16 teams. You could have seen, you know, Ole Miss, South Carolina, Alabama, all those teams would have been in, and it would have reduced in some way the chances. I thought Ohio State probably the best team on paper once it got to it, especially once Carson Beck went down and we saw what Georgia's receiving core wasn't what they were. They couldn't run the ball, all those things. But, yeah, it's a disadvantage for them. They want four teams because they want that money.
They want the guarantee, yeah. We get it. We'll talk about it with again, that's at 10:20. And then at 10 o'clock, Seth Emerson, the Georgia beat writer for The Athletic, who is friend of show, will join us as well. Drew Butler stirring the pot a little bit yesterday, saying there is a Gunnar Stockton's not the starter. Nobody said that. So then I'm like, ooh, girl. Did you watch the ESPYs last night?
I saw some of – I'm a big Shane Gillis fan.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
His Bud Light commercials are great, his skits, that podcast that he's on. The show Tires. Have you seen the show on Netflix?
Hilarious.
I watched it twice. They're so easy to watch. It's so funny.
Yeah. My husband loves that stuff.
I watched some of his monologue. Yeah. I didn't watch all. Uh-huh. I watched some. I'm not an award show guy.
I don't think that's even an award show. Like, right? They're told who's winning. That's why you show up, the whole thing. I'm not poo-pooing it because there was literally nothing else on, but I thought he was funny. I don't understand why people are afraid to laugh. Like, they were so in shock of what was happening. We're going to play some for you later. Because, by the way, we can do whatever we want today. there was really no sports. It's the one day. That's why they have the ESPYs. But also, you know what I was thinking about? That you are in management and you're my boss.
Uh-oh.
What do people want in their sports talk radio show? Because Steak and I have talked about this a long time. You already know the score. Mm-hmm. You already know the stats that you care about. So when you turn on, you know, if the Braves are playing last night and you're a diehard fan, you likely already know what happened. You know Drake Baldwin got a couple. You know all that.
Yeah.
So then the next morning, what are you listening for?
Well, that's a good question.
And I just feel like this format, sports, has changed in such big strides.
Well, based on what I've seen come out and I don't ever, I'm not a big talk about ratings on the air kind of person, but basically what I've seen, I should be asking you and Steak and Andy and Randy the question, because you guys are absolutely crushing it.
No, not me. Don't ask me nothing. Steak, but I ride those coattails all the way to mediocrity all the time with Steak. But yes, you're right. They've got it going on.
I think people want to hear their team talked about and the sports and the big stories talked about. I think it's there's a bunch of answers. For one, the Braves are playing the Yankees on
Friday. They don't want it broken down.
They don't want boring. They want energy. They want fun. They want humor with it. And they want to hear, like, it's – I give Mike Bell a lot of credit on this thing. I don't give him a lot of credit all the time, but I'll give it to him here. Izzy's right. You want to hear the conversation that, you know, and you want to hear people talk about things that will help you in your conversation at the bar. And it wants to be like a conversation. It's like sports talk radio to me is always to be like you're talking – sitting at a bar. But I also think you can't lose the fact when you've got experts like Randy McMichael, a guy that played in the NFL, Mike Johnson, and Drew Butler. These guys played. Rusty is one of the most knowledgeable people about high school and college football as far as the players and knowing those relationships with the coaches. When you have people like that, you need to give that. They need that, too. And they need to understand more about the game. But it's how you do it.
The
have
mix.
Fun.
Yeah, the good mix.
I mean, but they don't want to be condescended to either. So, you know, there's some condescending people in this business.
Now, Bo, we're going to stay a positive here, so don't go down that road. Stop that
right
now.
Well, they don't work for us.
Here we go.
What?
9 at 9, let's roll it. I will begin with SEC Media Days. It's the hot seat day, I like to call it, final day. And let me tell you, the energy in here on a scale of 1 to 10 is about a 2.5.
I mean,
bless their hearts. I feel like, gosh, y'all. Eli Drinkwitz is talking now on the big podium. And then we got Kentucky, Mark Stoops. We got Arkansas with Sam Pittman. And Texas A&M with Mike Elko.
Eli Drinkwitz looks like he should be running your HOA, not your college football team.
I like him. Why does he stirs it up. You know, I always like that. And I think he's funny. So.
I like it. He talks trash.
Yeah,
I'm just saying, I'm looking at him right now, and I'm like, oh, he's talking at an HOA meeting. Because that's what he looks like.
That's funny. Love it. They have 38 new scholarship players. Did you know that? New scholarships. Yep.
Yeah, they turned over a lot there.
Yeah, he said, we are playing to win it. They are an outside pick for the dark horse here, winning more games than you think they are. So that's today. I told you who we got coming up. Atlanta United. I guess they need extra time more often. 2-2 draw. They score in the 94th minute, second straight match where they've scored in that extra time. 2-2 draw. And the fact that Garrett is celebrating over here, we'll take the draw.
Yeah.
We'll take the kiss your sister. We don't even care anymore, right?
Well, and that's to your point about the goals. That's according to Mike Conte, he is the stat guy when I go to. Especially for Atlanta United, they've scored 4 second-half stoppage-time goals this year. One was a game-winner, 3 equalizers, and obviously that one was an equalizer last night. And Abe and I were talking about it earlier, and Abe's like, well, this was a stretch they just ended where they needed to get points, and they did, but not the points they needed.
We'll take
they needed
the draw.
Wins, not draws.
They're at Charlotte on Saturday at 7:30, and I also want to tell everybody I was in Target yesterday. All that Atlanta United stuff is on, like, clearance. So if you need new gear – they've got really good gear. I'm not even kidding. You're laughing? I'm telling you. Mama's out there. If you want some gear, go for it. They have some Falcon stuff, too, that's cute. Atlanta Dream with a total beatdown of Chicago, 86-49. Thanks for showing up, Chicago. Brittany Griner had 15. So the deal is this All-Star break's coming up for the WNBA, and Caitlin Clark ruled out last night. She has now missed 11 games with that groin injury.
Yeah, and no coincidence that she gets hurt, two nights ago? I think it was, Tuesday night?
Yeah.
The Sky play Wednesday against the Dream, and they sit Angel Reese, who will be going to where? The All-Star game.
That's right.
So I think that that might have played into it. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know where that comes from. Because that's a league that whenever they're going to be showcasing a game like that, they're showcasing their stars. You kind of want the people that are the stars of the league to be there. So
yeah, I'm with you. Falcons report to training camp in 6 days. Can you believe it? I'm so excited.
I can't. I was at 4th of July. We're at a cookout. And people were like talking about, oh, we got all this time. And I was like.
You weren't at Cancun's?
No, I went the next night to Cancun's. Thank you, though, for asking. That's my Mexican restaurant.
The restaurant is called Cancun's.
I'll wear that hat for you the next. When are you in? I'll see you Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Yeah, yep. I'll wear my Cancun's hat
I
for you.
I love it.
But they were like, what? We got all this time in the summer. I was like, no, I don't. I was like, 4th of July is the end. It's the countdown.
Yeah, it's so true.
What are you talking about? We have All-Star Weekend next weekend, which was back then that was next weekend. It was obviously with this past. Then it's SEC Media Days. Then it's Falcons. And it's like, then I'm traveling. It's over. The summer is over. It is busy season.
Chargers reported yesterday, and that first preseason game is the 31st of July, y'all.
That Hall of Fame game?
Yeah, it's game on. The Open Championship there is underway. Players are already in the 19th hole having some beers. Can you pull that up and tell me?
I know. You ready for me to butcher some names?
Yes. Listen, Bo, just stick to who we care about. Where's Scheffler? He was one under.
He's still one under, which
Thanks
is tied for
attention.
11th. Fitzpatrick is three under. Who's a name we know? Lee Westwood is up on that board right now. Shane Lowry up there. Stuart Sink, a name that you know. Keegan Bradley, all one under.
Oh, good.
Xander Schauffele is even, along with J.J. Spahn, who I have in my pool. So
well, that's enough.
Pull
I don't care anymore now. Now I'm done
you
with that.
You don't want to know where Michael Kim is?
Yes, where's Michael? I do like him. He's even. All right, there we go. We'll keep you updated throughout the morning. Did anybody get up at 4 a.m.? I'm talking to you, Drew Butler. Also, his little daughter's having surgery this morning. Kara's getting her tonsils out.
Oh,
so thinking of Drew and his sweet family. We're alive at SEC Media Days. This is the Steakhouse. Cole Kubelik, friend of mine, superstar on ESPN. He was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. It's a long story, and we're playing all of it on Gunnar Stockton. And how it ties back with Jalen Walker. And I think you Georgia fans are going to love to hear it. So Georgia Talk coming up, SEC Media Days, Sights and Sounds. And are you man enough to order a frozen daiquiri? Because I think that's something we need to discuss. It's the Steakhouse right here on the game, live from SEC Media Days. Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. It's about 9:22. We're live at SEC Media Days, College Football Hall of Fame. Bo Squid Billy of the Morning Shift, kind enough to co-host with me today. I was shocked Rusty isn't here today. He's probably reading page 506 on the Phil Steele College Football book. But Sam Pittman's here today, his buddy. So I thought he might be here, but he's doing other stuff. So The up-and-coming superstar Mansell, Kaylee Mansell, is ruling the roofs around here. Did you see her running around?
The future, yeah. I saw her the other day. I haven't seen her today. I did see her the other day, and she's going to take over the mantle, right? She'll be the next big Mansell, big time.
I'm going to predict to you right now she will be on whatever sports network she wants to be. If she wants that, that's how talented she is. She's in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
She is skyrocketing up. She is a superstar.
Because she's done some of the high school football stuff, right? Like, I've seen some of her on some of that coverage. Phenomenal job. So,
and by the way, she was either 19 or 20 or 18. Rusty, you'll correct me, because I think she was that young doing it then.
Yeah.
Killing it. So.
Well, and you get early in the business. I mean, that's where it is. Because I don't know.
So Maria Taylor used to do a little thing called the Dog Walk, I believe it was called. Pardon me, Maria, for not knowing. You know, and CSS, a little half-hour show.
Yeah.
She was just finished playing sports at Georgia. And I knew, I was like, she is so good. She's going to be the star of the star. You know, not that I'm some clairvoyant woman. I just have eyes. I was like, you rock.
Well, I mean, I remember the day you set eyes on me. You're like, hey, you're gonna be big time one day.
I knew. I loved you. He was my intern, y'all that don't know that, 100 years ago at 790 The Zone.
Yeah.
And I remember teaching you how to do updates and the I literally showed you how to use the computer. What were you, 12 years old, 13?
No, I was older than y'all thought.
I was like, take out your pacifier and let's get to business.
I was a lot older than y'all thought when I walked in the door. I was just ignorance was something I had as far as the business. I didn't know anything. I remember being pulled aside literally a week into it by someone that I know you just adored, was Adam Klug. And
I like Adam.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
That guy taught me a lot, mm-hmm. and I still talk to Adam, actually. Mm-hmm. And he was like, hey, this isn't really working. And I go, well, what's the problem? And he was like, look, I know you're a quiet guy, but I need you to talk more. And I go, I'm actually not. He goes, what do you mean? I said, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what you want. I'm just sitting here like I'm afraid to talk. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk. There, you know, what are you not listening to the show? Tell me what to do.
The first rule of thumb in sports radio is just talk until somebody tells you to shut up.
Yeah, that's
Let them tell you to shut up.
That's what Abe Gordon did.
That's funny. So I got to tell you y'all this story. We're going to get to Cole Kublik talking about Gunner in a second. I went to supper last night by myself. Obviously, I'm staying in town.
That's
I've been dieting, so I was like, I'm going to go to Gio's Chicken. I'm going to eat the chicken and the salad. So it's one of my favorite restaurants. If y'all have never been to Gio's, it's attached to Antico. They have the little Italy section over there. Everybody's nodding around me. Okay, good. We all know. So they have a new dining area. They've fixed it up a little bit. So there's tables of twos, 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 twos. So I go, and I sit at a table for two by myself. There's not anyone else in the whole section. Okay, and I want to say there's six tables of two.
Yeah.
So I go sit. And I'm going to enjoy peace and quiet. So then I got this couple that came in, and I'm watching them order, and their vibe is off. Okay, like couple. I want to say they're probably 30. All right, they're married because I made a point of looking. They both are wearing rings.
Well, they're married to somebody.
So
maybe
he's
not
asking
each other.
That's a good point. No, but they are married because let me tell you how this goes. So they come, and I just thought, God, the whole restaurant's open. Why are you taking this table next to me? Okay, because I was like, all right. Y'all, they proceeded to have a full-on fight.
Yes, I love this.
And I was like, this is the most awkward because it's quiet in there. So there's a little Italian music. Well, apparently something his mother did, and she's not having it, and I can't take it anymore. So now second glass of wine is ordered for both. So you know where this is going. Louder and louder. I literally had to get up and get out of there. There were tears. There were beers and tears on her part, and I'm quite sure they filed for divorce this morning. So
Holy
it was a beautiful
smokes.
Evening. I mean, it
wow.
was ugly. They're a curse. I mean, I couldn't believe what was happening in that restaurant.
I want so many details, and I know you might not give me all of them. I don't understand why, but like,
oh, I'll give you all the details. What do you want to know? Like, do you know me?
I mean, I'm just,
his name is Chad. I do know that because she kept going, Chad, if you don't let me finish. And I was like, oh, let her finish, Chad. No. I'm like over there like, Chad, would you please let her finish?
What'd Chad's mama do?
I mean, Chad's mom, well, I didn't hear that part of it, but she, I don't know the girl's name because he didn't repeat her name. He was dropping F-bombs on her. I just don't think it's a good couple. That's my point.
The
fight in the restaurant, do you guys relate? Like, you're like, please hold it down. I just want peace and quiet.
Way before I found my wonderful wife, many relationships before, like, I actually got broke up with at a, O'Charlie's. Yeah. I almost couldn't go there for a while because I was mad. And I was like, and literally we break up, and then they're like, oh, here's your salmon.
Oh, during, oh, like, night. Okay. Now
I was like, can we get this to go?
Is that right?
Yeah.
You get the free pie, too, so hold on. Did you get
but
the free pie,
I did not,
though, Charlie's?
I didn't even stick around. But the problem was is we didn't get we didn't show up to fight. I was like, sabotaged. So it sounds like these people went to dinner to fight.
That's hilarious.
And, I mean, but, like,
I noticed it as soon as they came in the door, because Chad was kind of hot, I'm not going to lie, ladies. And I was like, oh, what a good-looking couple. And it was on. So, Chad, good luck, everybody out there. Well, those divorce attorneys, if you got that call, hit me up. 404-726-0929. Also, good stuff on Twitter, Bo, about what they want out of sports talk, which I appreciate you tweeting, at SportsSandra, at Squidbilly929. Gordon is here. Garrett is here. Here we go. Cole Kublik, Jocks Radio. I think they have the number one sports station in the world. It's he and Greg McElroy. They're sitting two doors down. So Cole was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday.
Yeah, Cole yelled at me on Monday.
What'd you do?
I tried to help him. They were having issues getting on the air, and they're using the same system that we have, which I know how to run. And him and Greg kept doing that. We are live from S. I can't hear myself. We are live, and their producer had gone, had taken off. And I say Cole yelled. I'm being a little bit dramatic. I walk over, and I point like which one. And Cole Denver looks up. He's standing over it, and he just goes, "It's that one." And then he looks. He goes, "You don't work for us." And I said, "I'm trying to help you."
That. He's great. Stop he goes, pissing him off. Please.
No. He's we're cool. Friend. We're cool. Oh, we made up. We made up. We're
oh, God. Cool. All right, Chad. Cole is all SEC TV, all that good
as
stuff.
As knowledgeable as anybody in the business.
I'm going to shut up because it's a long story, but I really want you to hear it all. So roll it.
Hey, Cole, before we cut you loose, get the I-20 perspective from Birmingham. What do you think of Georgia this year?
I'm big on Georgia. I'm high on Georgia. I called one of Gunnar Stockton's high school games, so I got to talk to his high school coaches, some of his teammates, people in that community. Here's what sold me on Gunnar Stockton. I know he's the newer starting quarterback, but I was on the sideline for the SEC championship game doing the MegaCast. We didn't know who the starter was because we saw that hit at the end of the first half.
Yeah, okay.
So we had no idea what's going on. And we were talking, I think it was Molly McGrath or Holly Rose on that sideline. She's asking us, and I'm like, I'm not working the sideline in this game. And so nobody knew. And we're over there watching, and you could tell when they put the hat on, go start warming up, that sideline erupted. And it was different. It was a different energy. Mm. It was a different vibe. And I asked Kirby about it right down there yesterday on TV, and he said, yeah, because those guys wanted to win for him. Like, the O-line wanted to block for him. They wanted to run the ball for him. And then Roman Harper and I, who do a show on Monday nights, we were talking about the next night or two nights later in Charlotte before our show, and he said, did you hear what Jalen Walker said after the game? I was like, I missed it. You know, I was traveling. He said, well, I asked Jalen Walker why was it so different when he came in, and Jalen Walker said, that's my quarterback.
That's
my guy.
Well, here's
so
the deal.
I think Gunnar Stockton's going to be one of those raise the level of everybody around him, and he doesn't have to be Tim Tebow or Aaron Murray or David Green or whatever. Like, they got big-time weapons around him.
Cole, what you just said for all Dawg fans who are wondering whether or not the reason why they didn't welcome the last quarterback back, you just said it.
Yeah.
You just said it. For everybody that has been wondering, oh, Carson, I don't get it. You just heard it from a man
right
there.
I go back
there.
To something Nick Saban said a long time ago when there was like a 50-50 quarterback battle, and people used to always ask him, what does he have to do? What does he need to prove? And Nick Saban would say, my team will tell me who the quarterback is.
So true. It's true, right?
And that doesn't mean that, you know, somebody's going to walk in there and be like, coach, who's the guy? He'll watch how they react to him, and that's going to be who the guy is.
Cool.
You saw it in the SEC championship.
Yeah.
I can't remember who was doing the sideline, but they said, you know, I could hear guys rallying around him, talking to him on the way out of the tunnel. You saw it on the sidelines. That team was all in as soon as Gunnar Stockton took over, almost to the fact that it felt like, man, they're kind of disrespecting Carson there when he went out. But that's a really great point by Cole, because leadership, well, a good leader can do a lot more than just talent and no leadership, especially that position.
It's a perfect transition because Nick Saban said it. The team will tell you who the quarterback is. Falcons, is anybody finished watching quarterback?
I finished it, yep.
Okay, we're going to talk about that because I do think that's a good point of what the guys, Drake, the Mac Daddies, were knowing about what was going on behind the scenes. And Bo is nodding with a smile on his face, so I think he knows a little something. Hey, thanks for tuning in. You want to talk to us, give us a call, 404-726-0929, because we can do whatever we want because I'm in charge today. And if you know Chad and his wife, update me on their fight because it did not go well at Gio's last night.
And if she's single now, maybe we can throw Abe Gordon at her. That's a great rebound.
Throw Abe Gordon at her. Yeah. Oh, God. Abe might have a girlfriend. I got to follow up with that. All right, we'll be right back.
Trust me, I
heard. The game. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Steakhouse. Steaks on Vacation. I'm lucky enough to be working with Bo today from the morning shift. Thank you, Bo. Time to get up this morning to drive down here?
3 something. Well, I woke up at 2:15, had to put the pacifier back in, the baby.
To your mouth? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. No, that's just my thumb. No, I'm just kidding. So I had to make sure she got back because she was getting a little fussy. But, you know, sometimes she just wants to be adjusted, moved around. And then I finally woke up around 3 something, and I had to pick up – I've been picking up Allie and A. We've been carpooling.
Oh, I love that.
So I've been going to the Macaulays and picking them up because, you know, you don't want to make it's easier to walk around in the streets of Atlanta, and I don't want to put anybody – you know, down there. And
also, they're not paying for our parking. Why don't we just say that out loud?
That's actually the number one thing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Then the SEC
makes
us wait outside this door till like 5:50
every
morning.
We're
going to
stay
positive,
though. So I'm sorry I even said that. That wasn't nice.
That's why I went the other way. Because I'm full. I'm gonna
I know,
go
but
everything.
I didn't everybody want to think. It's like, God, he's a great guy schlepping all around town at 3:30 a.m. Nope. Let me tell you how it's going down. This is what it was going down.
So, yeah. So, been here since 5:30 outside. I love this. I've had a really good time. And I'm not being negative, but when I had to do this event as a producer, I hated it.
Why was that? Because Garrett's hating it. Garrett's a little superstar here as well.
Because every time you hear a player or a coach – that is a testament to the work being put in behind the scenes.
Right.
Because players, and really any guest, there's very few guests that come up to you and say, put me on, but because they don't make a time for us up here. And so we have people like Garrett, Chris Goforth around here, and they're working behind the scenes to get everything we get. So when we get – you know, Kalen DeBoer on for 5 minutes, it's because Garrett went out there and hustled and got it. And so it's just taxing. Now, on the other end, and then you do all that work, and you don't even get to talk to the people. So now I'm on the other end now, where I'm getting to talk to these people. Like when Kalen DeBoer sits down, it's really cool when we get to talk to some of these. Matt Flynn came over yesterday and talked to us, and I watched Matt play in college. I remember that.
Do you go fanboy a little bit or no? A little bit?
I don't think.
Do you go Chris Farley? Do you know what that reference is because you're young?
What, Chris Farley?
Chris Farley, the reference of, remember that one time?
Yeah, I literally did that with him. Okay. I was like, hey, we were talking about the 07 season. I was like, hey, were you the fake field goal?
Right.
Are you the one that took
right.
the, and he was like, you mean when I threw it over my shoulder? I go, yeah, yeah. He goes,
right.
Yeah, that was me. I go, how was your knee not down? And he says, that's what I said. So, like, I went a little bit Chris Farley on that
okay,
because I'm remembering
it.
All these memories.
I don't mind it.
So I've had fun this week, in other words.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad you're here with us.
And a lot of caffeine today.
Tomorrow it's Rusty Mansell and Zeno, I think.
Oh, that is a combination.
Yeah,
let me
tell
you something.
In the studio. Yeah, I enjoy them together, too. So, all right, I do appreciate everyone sending me all the information on, because first of all, Chad and his wife had a big fight next to me last night, and they sat right next to me in a place that was wide open spaces. So Gordon also brought up a great point about, can you hop on or is it on? This is Gordon, everybody.
Yeah, I was just saying, like, when you're in the restroom and you're in the stall, mm-hmm. there's a whole wall of empty urinals. Someone walks up right next to you.
Right.
And sometimes, I've had this happen before, starts the conversation. Like we aren't in the restroom.
Well, first off, if there is four urinals or three urinals, right, and somebody's on the far right one,
right.
If you go in the middle, you should be ejected from the bathroom. Like, that's just why would you not go to the far left one? Why won't you leave that courtesy space, right?
Right, right. I gotcha.
But if you double down on talking as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's awful hot out here today. Dude, I just want to wash my hands and get out of here.
Right.
Like, really? Like, dude, I don't want to talk to you.
That's a faux pas, sitting right next to somebody. And yesterday I was leaving the Mart, and there's shuttle buses that take us because it's crazy parking. And there's maybe two people on the bus waiting on. This woman gets on and sits right next to me. And I was like, we are not friends. What is going – what are you doing here? So that's another one. So
that is
I don't know what people
one.
Are doing.
I don't understand the personal space thing. Like, that's the whole thing with the urinal. That's the whole thing. The bus and the urinal is, like, the same thing. Like,
urinal's even way worse.
Well, it is. It just doesn't make any sense. But what are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't understand people. But
all right, that's what you get here on the Steakhouse. You're welcome. And also, you guys are sending me. So there was a Coldplay concert. Did you guys see this on the internets? The Coldplay concert, where apparently, you know, the video, they do the video like the Kiss Cam, but it's at Coldplay concert. So they put you on the big screen. So they caught this couple cuddling, and they both freaked out and were, like, ducking because what? That wasn't his wife. So they're both having an affair. And you know what the Twitter does? The Twitter world found out where each of them work. There they are. Yeah, you got it.
Oh,
they
wow.
found out what. So all Rusty just sent me, here's who they are. So that is why we have the internet. And
dude,
God bless everybody.
It is 2025. You can't be cheating in public. Like, you got to figure out.
They got out of there like the speed of sound. Here we go. All right, Nick Saban said it. The team will tell you who the quarterback is. And Netflix, the quarterback. I'm almost done. I have two episodes left. My husband and I love it. Are y'all enjoying it? So
I watched
good?
It. Yeah, I enjoyed it. It's so much easier to watch for me when there's stake in the game, as far as, you know, knowing the situation, living through all of that. I have no ill will towards Kirk Cousins at all. I did think it was interesting. One of the things I noticed, and I don't know how to, maybe he was the new guy on the team, but I found it very interesting that really every time he was talking on that doc, like in there, like catching, you know, at practice footage and that kind of stuff, right? He's talking to, like, a coach or an equipment guy. And there was not any interaction. Like, you saw Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase, like, just hamming it up constantly.
You know, that's a great point.
And I never saw – so that was one thing for me that really stood out. We don't get to watch practice, right? And that's not like I go up
you
there
don't
every
get to
day.
Is that right? You
yeah,
don't
get, the media doesn't get to watch practice.
Bo is the executive producer of the Falcons Radio Network, so he's traveling with the team. He's on the plane. You don't get to watch practice.
Mm-mm.
Does Wes and Dave?
Not that I know of. There's no media.
I did not know that.
But I'll even say, you know, it's not like Kirk's a bad dude. They didn't feel like that connection. I think – literally, and I've said this injury thing, I'm sure he did bang up his shoulder. And I know that it affected the Chargers game because of the velocity. Sandra was not there, and that's what it takes.
You're being kind.
But also, I also know just enough about the game, and I watched the game with someone who knows way more than me, and I watch the game, the film every morning. Mm-hmm. With Mike Johnson, I will watch film during football season. And these guys played at a high level. They know the game better than the average person, and they've taught me stuff. There were throws that he made that had nothing to do with an injury, too.
Explain that.
Well, the Chargers throw, the fourth down, the pick six. That would the routes are called different route. That the same route can be called something different in different offenses. But to me, it looked like a little out route, a little bench route, whatever. And the throw is late and to the inside. And on that throw, it has to be on time, and it has to be on the outside. It has to be on the sideline where basically only one guy can catch it, which I think that was to Drake maybe. Maybe it was Mooney. Mooney. So it had to be where only Mooney can catch it. But it was late, so it means he didn't throw it on time, and it was inside. So when it turns around, and you look at it, the DB just is standing. It's basically thrown right to the DB. That had nothing to do with his arm. Yeah, if he had a cannon, maybe he could have thrown it late, but it was still too far inside. It was off target. It was an inaccurate throw, and I don't even know why he threw it, which goes back to the decision-making. That's not an injury throw. That's a bad decision. That's a mistake throw. You go to the Minnesota game. He made throws in that Minnesota game that were darts. The throw down the sideline to Mooney where he catches it, and I think he gets tackled around like the six. Arch says in the broadcast, that is as good of an NFL throw as you'll see. That is a NFL caliber throw. That's a healthy arm. He did make a bad interception. He did throw a bad pick there in that game, but it was a decision. It was over the middle in a situation where you can't throw that ball. The interception he threw in that other one late in the game was at Pitts. That's a zero coverage. They're bringing the house. He rushes the throw. I question the decision, but I question how on the same page that he and Pitts were, because Pitts was running a different route from where the ball was thrown. Again, that's not a health throw. In the Vegas game, he looked like a broken quarterback. He had
just
no,
second guessing his own self.
Yes, that's and again, yeah. To start the second half, he's picked off. He throws in the middle to a guy that was blanketed, and it was not only the defender covering the tight end at the time, which I think was I don't think it was Werner. It was our other guy that not Pitts, not Werner, but the other one. I can never think of his name. Anyways, it doesn't matter. But there was a guy in the middle there too. There was two guys basically there. You just don't make that throw. So I'm sure that I know at times there was injury there, but Cousins was mentally gone too. But I know that Penix completely had a grasp of everything this team was doing, and so when he came in and he would run stuff, they could see it. They could see him running with the scout team, and then when he got on the field, the timing was off at times, but notice how that team rallied around him.
So I have a question. You mentioned that you're not mad at Cousins that much, but you're saying that the rookie understood the offense, but Kirk Cousins somehow cannot. That didn't frustrate you at all?
Well, when I say I'm not mad at Cousins, I'm not mad when he comes out of the Super Bowl and says, well, you know, when the clerical error thing, which was a lie. I mean, I don't think there's any way around that. He basically – it's his explanation on the documentary Netflix, I don't know if you've gotten there yet, so sorry. But he says, well, you know, if you take every practice rep, you know, you're not on the injury list. Well, that's – no. What the rule in the NFL is if you get treatment from the team, you are now on the injury report. Not a clerical issue. That's exactly what it was. And
did he get treatment from the team?
He got treatment the week he was on the injury report.
Okay.
That is why he was on it. That's why he never showed up again because, you know, these guys, if you notice the first quarterback on team that he worked with. Remember the first quarterback? He's going in, when he was still with the Vikings. He's getting massages, and he's got like a chiropractor's own guy that's working on him. There's no doubt in my mind he had his own team down here. That's what veteran quarterbacks that make
exactly.
$40 million mm-hmm. a year can do. Mm-hmm. You're afforded that right. So I'm not mad at that. I'm not mad when he came out and covered for himself. And I'm not mad if he was injured and he was playing injured because that's what every NFL player does. Do I get frustrated he couldn't learn the offense? Yeah, where's your head at?
That's what I was asking, yeah.
I do get frustrated about that because why are you not grasping this? What is so different? I don't think that he wasn't grasping it or that he wasn't capable of it. I think in those moments he was clearly bothered from day one. When they drafted Michael Penix, he felt a certain way, mm-hmm. and based on that, he went and basically it was he was putting this pressure. He was pressing, just like this Braves lineup. They're pressing these days. That's what they're doing. That's the whole issue with them right now is they're pressing, and they're putting extra pressure on themselves. That's what their old hitting coach said. He goes, I hope they can find someone that keeps him from trying so hard. He was trying so hard that it was a detriment to him.
Yeah.
So that's why. And you know, I don't think Kirk's a bad guy, and I don't think he's a selfish guy because he didn't want to lose his job. I think that's natural, you know? So,
yeah.
But, yeah, it was frustrating. But Michael, the team did rally around Michael Penix. That was a little
and I guess that's why I was circling back to that team knew what was going on, and the love for Michael Penix by week 7, let's say, was there, and I heard it from people that I trust, that they're like, what's going on at Flowery Branch is that they are all about Michael Penix. And it's interesting that the players, C.J. Allen was like, man, Gunnar Stockton's our guy, Gunnar, you know, so you get it. You totally get it. You get it without needing – you don't need him anybody to make an announcement. The players know who the quarterback is.
It is amazing that this regime in the first round has drafted Drake London, Bijan Robinson, and Michael Penix. All three of as impressive as a rookie as you'll ever be around.
Right.
When you're around them, how they handle every situation, the media, their teammates, all that. And then there's the other guy that they drafted, who to me doesn't handle things is the same way as those three guys do. I don't need to name names. You guys know who the first draft pick in the first round was from them. And those three guys are just on a different level with how mature they are, how they handle every situation. They are so impressive.
That's good. Excited for Falcons. Y'all, if you like Georgia football, you're going to love this next segment. Seth Emerson is here. He's literally sitting here. He's listening to all this nonsense. Poor guy. Yeah, I want to talk about the running game because Kirby said something this week that I don't think we're kind of focusing on yet, talking about the running game last year and the difference this year. We're going to discuss it. And if you have a good fight story about, you know, Chad and his wife last night, you know what happened?
Maybe Seth knows him. You never know.
You never know. I mean, it was quite interesting. We're also going to play some of the ESPY stuff later in the show for sure. And Seth, the commish is coming at 10:20, Greg Sankey. So stay where you are. It's the Steakhouse right here on 92.9 The Game. Day four, final day at the SEC Media Days. Hey, everybody, it's the Steakhouse. I'm Sandra Golden. Squidbilly, Bo Morgan is on with us. Gordon is here. Garrett's here. And Seth Emerson, Mac Daddy writer for The Athletic, is joining us at the table. And let's just go right into it. You just heard Eli Drinkwitz talk, who is super entertaining, isn't he?
He always is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were just saying that I hope no Missouri fans are listening, but it's too bad he's just the Missouri coach. He's Spurrier-esque, but I take that back. Lane Kiffin is Spurrier, you know, getting his shots in on Hugh Freeze here and there, and you know, if Spurrier had coached in the social media age, Drinkwitz is. I'd have to think about a comparison, but he's very online, clearly. Like he knows what everyone's talking about, and he got up there at the start today and had a crack about, like, I will not discuss the Epstein files or the radiation belt, which I don't know what that is, whether Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone.
That's
like,
funny.
All right, well, that's very 80s and 90s reference. But anyway, yeah, he's interesting, and he'll put his foot in his mouth sometimes, but we like that.
Yeah, and he doesn't even care, which I like that. I wish more – like, Lane and him don't care.
Lane definitely doesn't care. Eli cares a little bit when he, like, gets in trouble for, like, how his words are taken with something. Like, there was something a couple years ago, NIL-related. Like, it's hard for coaches and administrators to talk about paying players without – something they say offending somebody.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
But the thing with Eli is he's one of those guys who he gets in trouble and then he keeps talking. He doesn't get, like, you know, he doesn't go into a hole.
Right, right.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah, probably so what helps him is he looks like he should be running your HOA, and he is also Missouri's coach.
Yes.
So people are like, oh, you know, if they had, you know, if I say Georgia now because of Kirby Smart, but if the guy at Alabama would say something like that, it would probably be a little bit bigger news.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
What do you think about the way Greg Sankey has kind of handled this situation with the Big Ten and Tony Petitti? I think that's how you say his name. It's kind of two ways, because Monday he gets up here and he takes clearly shots at what I thought were shots at the Big Ten and how they're handling things. But he's also – it feels like he is handling this so well to where they knew that the ninth game would be leveraged, so they held on to not – doing the 9-game conference schedule until they could find a way to use it to get what they wanted, which would be
this
the 5-11.
This is Bo's theory on what.
And I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
Why'd you mention JFK earlier?
First of all.
Yeah. and by the way, SEC Media Days was in Dallas last year. So I went down to Dealey Plaza.
Oh, really?
And that was my first time ever there. And I now do believe that Lee Harvey Oswald probably acted alone.
Really?
Yes, because
ladies and gentlemen,
the distance I had not. You don't get an appreciation for this, but the distance between the where he did the shots to the limo are presented as much further away than when you actually get there. So now I don't mind a good conspiracy, but you know, and I don't rule it out. But anyway,
what about the shot that seems to come from the front?
Yes, that's still a thing. I haven't looked into it much recently. I have been too worried about potential 8-9 game SEC schedule scenario.
I totally get it.
Yeah.
We get
But I should walk it back. Did he act alone? The chances that he acted alone, I think, are greater after me visiting Dealey Plaza for the first time last year. What were we talking about?
I don't know.
Yeah. The 8-9. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Did the SEC use that ninth game?
Well, Sankey has wanted a 9-game schedule for a while.
But they've hesitated.
Because he's never gotten on a table and told everybody in the room, we're going to do 9, this is what we're going to do. And part of that was because and there's Eli over there, so good thing we weren't talking about him when he you know, was right there. But part of the problem was that they didn't have assurances from ESPN about more money, which is what a lot of people wanted. And then you had the playoff this year where it fed the impression among people in the room that if they go to 9 games, you know, half the league gets a loss. And, like, already with an 8-game schedule, we're only getting 3 teams in the field. So it's been harder for his constituency, for Sankey, to get them to 9 games. But I think they're going to get there. I've thought that a long time, and they never do. The thing I've never thought is that they're going to play 8 games for the rest of history. It's been more like, are they just going to punt again? Are they going to do another 2-year cycle of 8 while they're waiting to go 9, whatever? But, yeah, the playoff thing is interesting because they really have seemed to have settled on course for this 16-team field where 5 plus 11.
Do you like the 5-11?
I don't like them calling it 5-11. It's because it's just a 16-team. It's the current format, yeah. 16 teams.
Okay.
But I don't like the numbers deal.
Okay.
Especially with, like, the Big Ten idea. Like, when they're saying the 4-4-2-2-1, like, okay, all right, can we get a better name for this? I've been calling it the automatic bid format, which is what Eli Drinkwitz wants, which he said today. So he's kind of an outlier in the SEC.
Tell them what he was talking about. Seth Emerson, a writer for The Athletic, about the play-in stuff.
Yeah, he Drinkwitz was talking about a 8-team format that I heard them talk about in New Orleans in February when the SEC and the Big Ten met, where the Big Ten and the SEC would have 4 play-in games instead of a championship game. And the wacky part about that is it's not like a traditional championship game and then 3 other play-in games. No, it's 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7, okay. 3 versus 6, 4 versus 5, and the loser is out. So if you go 12-0, but you lose to the 8th seed, you're done.
Too bad, right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Which is wacky to a lot of people, but it's the NFL. It would place a lot of importance on those games and like the chances that the 1 would lose to the 8, because these would presumably be campus site mm-hmm. games, the chances are pretty low. But it would add excitement, and the way Eli feels about it is that the math that he came at, and I went through it and I saw where he cited 30 teams, 30 fan bases, 30 sets of players would be engaged going into the championship weekend.
30 teams.
And you would have that would result, actually, now that I'm doing the math in my head, that would result in 15 playoff spots. So I think he might have been saying, like, the group of 5. I don't know. I'm going to go ask him. But this is a basic idea that I've heard going back to February, but it seemed to be dead. It probably still is dead. Eli was just up there, I think, saying this is my opinion, which, like we were saying, we love it.
We love it.
But it seems like we are eventually going to arrive at this 5-11, which I hate calling it that, but that's what we're calling it, this 16-team format, or we just go back to what the current format is, because if the SEC and the Big Ten can't agree on a format, if the Big Ten says no, we want this, and the SEC says, well, we want this, then they just revert to the 12-team field and format that we have now. Not last year's, where the 4 conference champions automatically get the bye because they changed that. But I don't have a problem. I thought 12 was a good number. I thought 16 was a little bit of a stretch.
Greg Sankey's on with us at 10:20, by the way. Seth Emerson is from The Athletic. When does the SEC expand? Because I actually think that's more interesting to me than
expand,
this whole,
like, teams?
Teams.
Ooh, when that ACC deal comes up in 2030 or so. I sat down with Dabo Swinney, and he brought up the Super League thing himself. Mm-hmm. Like he said, I think there's going to be a Super League. This was in April, I think I sat down with him, and I was like, oh really? But is it we go to a big Super League, or is it that the SEC starts picking off ACC teams? That would
I think it's the latter. I think it's that.
There's too much money to be lost by expanding right now.
Mm-hmm.
Like you would be just cutting up the pie if you, you know, I mean, it would have to be Notre Dame showing up at the door and saying, hey, we want to get in, or North Carolina. And North Carolina's not getting out till 2030 at the earliest. So, no, they're in this area where they want more revenue because of rev share and everything, they're not gonna invite a 17th or 18th team to split up the same amount of money now.
Yeah, and this whole thing's just now all we ever do is talk about random numbers with teams and playoff spots and conferences. Down in Florida, Billy Napier's got a big year. DJ Lagway is kind of let's just be honest. He's the savior for Billy Napier and for that program right now, because they've watched Georgia surpass them. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they were the it when Alabama came on the rise, and they've really watched Tennessee go back a little bit above them. It's really tough, that schedule, but because of the 12-team playoff, I mean, Florida has a chance to realistically go, 10-3 and make the playoff, but is there enough around Lagway to help him? Because their wide receiver room looks loaded, but everywhere else, is there enough around him? And even if it is he going to be able to stay healthy?
Yeah, I mean, the health thing is – I mean, we talked with him a lot about that yesterday, and he assured us he's healthy. I mean, Florida is a lot like Auburn, where those programs have recruited – they've built a base the last couple years. And so – like, do they have the depth that they want? No, but nobody has depth anymore. Georgia doesn't have depth anymore because of the transfer portal. But the Florida and Auburn have quite enough. Well, you know, South Carolina on paper didn't have enough last year, but they were right on the cusp of it. They win one more game, they're in. So you can get to 9-3, 10-2 in the playoff with that level of talent, like that level below the Georgia, Texas, Alabama level, which is where I think like Florida and Auburn about are now. The thing is, and this will flesh out once games start happening, there will be some separation. But right now you look at well more than half the teams in the league and say that team could plausibly make the playoff. Like everybody who was in contention last year, plus Florida and Auburn could make a jump. Florida more likely than Auburn, but Auburn, you know, Auburn gets Georgia and Alabama at home.
That's right. That's right.
Oklahoma could make a jump if John Mateer is as good as people think he is. You know, Texas A&M was quasi in contention near the end last year, you know, and then fell out. I mean, maybe they do something, but those are the teams that more than half the teams have a realistic Missouri. They were a little bit in contention last year. They
got to retool, but yeah.
Yeah.
Seth Emerson, thank you so much. Now I learned that the Florida Gators are going to go 10-3 from Bo. Did you hear that? He's dropped that.
As long as you're quoting him, not me.
Not you.
I didn't say
it. No, listen.
Hey.
Bo is over here to my right. It's footing out 10-3, and I love it. Thank you.
They had the toughest schedule I've ever seen in November last year. Went on a little bit of a run.
Yeah. Okay. Don't cry for me, Argentina. Here we go. Seth, thank you. We appreciate it. And good stuff. We got the commish coming up shortly. So
ask him what he thinks of Eli's idea.
I will.
Because I'd like to ask him.
No, I'm glad you – because we didn't hear what he said, so I appreciate
it.
Thank you so much. Y'all, stay where you are. Commish is coming up next right here on the Steakhouse. Welcome back into the Steakhouse, everybody. My name's Sandra. Bo is alongside. Gordon is pushing the buttons. And we have, I'm going to say it, I feel like the most powerful gentleman in all of college football, the commissioner of the SEC, Greg Sankey. Good morning, Greg. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
Do you get called that a lot, the most powerful guy?
It's been written, and I usually say, you know, I think that's the wrong term. That's respectfully, I think you want to be influential and effective.
Mm-hmm.
And to the extent I'm both influential and effective, that gives you status, I guess.
I love that you're here at this very day, because the headlines yesterday, the Big Ten digging in their heels. There is no chance we're doing anything expansion-wise until the SEC goes to 9 games. Your move, Greg Sankey.
Well, I saw some of those headlines. I haven't talked through what that means. You know, we're going to make our decision based on our needs, our purposes. And, you know, the Big Ten years ago went to 9 games when they were negotiating a television contract. They had their reasons for doing it, and I certainly respect that they can make an independent decision and can have perspectives about us. But that doesn't mean that somebody from the outside is going to dictate our decision-making.
Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC, is here. Kirby Smart said on the podium, yeah, that means 9 more losses for the SEC. And I was like, ah, that's interesting. I haven't really thought about that and heard it put that way within your division, within the conference.
Well, so going to 9 games means you don't have a non-conference weekend. So there are a couple factors. In a non-conference weekend or a non-conference scheduling opportunity, you have 16 games. So playing a 9th conference game means you go from 16 to 8 because you're half your league's mm-hmm. playing each other, right? Now, if you assume that in those 16 games you went 16-0 and instead went 8-8, there are 8 more losses mm-hmm. embedded.
Yep,
but
yep.
there's no certainty if you're scheduling that you're going to win all 16 of those. Now, if you play a bunch of FCS games, which we've learned our fans aren't turning out, you're not generating a lot of ticket sales off of that. What people want is big brands coming in. They want big games to attend. They want to see games against SEC opponents. And trying to find the right balance is part of our consideration of 8 versus 9 games.
And the committee doesn't want the FCS. The committee is looking hard at that.
Well, I think part of what the selection committee has done is created questions about how they evaluate strength of schedule. Is it simply, hey, get more wins. Get as many wins as you can, regardless of who you play. Some of that impression was left after last year. That's a part of our consideration. And those 8 losses that could be accumulated, depending on how they fall, and I don't assume that it's our CFP selection edge teams. It might be other teams through the continuum. That's been part of the consideration, is why should we make our schedule any more difficult when it's already the most rigorous in college football?
Well, do you even know how that metric – like, what do we know – how much do we actually know about that strength of schedule metric that they're using in the college football playoff? Because it doesn't feel like we actually can understand it when they try to explain it to us.
I do think there's a need for better context and explanation. As commissioners in what's called the CFP Management Committee, which is the 10 bowl subdivision commissioners plus Notre Dame, we had a presentation from the analytics group that manages the strength of schedule analysis. And I probably didn't listen to everything, but I am going to observe that one of the simple explanations or the simple context points was in the strength of schedule analysis, and you're averaging the strength of your opponents. A game against team 1 and a game against team 130 averages out to 65.5. If you play team 65 and 66, that averages out to 65.5. And so the statement that then followed was, when you're thinking about scheduling, play game 65 or team 65 and 66 in the rankings, not 1, which is hard, really hard to win, and 130 because it nets out the same. That's an inappropriate analysis. So winning against a highly ranked team should have more impact than winning against a low-ranked team. And that's where we have to have more information. Now, in mid-June, when that same CFP Management Committee came together, we had a bit deeper presentation of strength of schedule and strength of record analysis, but more information is needed before we can rubber stamp that. And what's interesting is I had asked about, hey, what analytics are provided, and it was kind of a non-transparent issue. So I'm in the mode of wanting to understand it better and like everybody to have that information.
Greg Sankey, commissioner of the SEC. Okay, let's hit their transparency, and I'm going to talk about the college football playoff and bring up Lane Kiffin's comments where he is, and a lot of people have commented on the criteria, the transparency, the bias. Who do you think should be on that selection committee? And do you think we should know who, what, where, when, and how, and what they're voting for in the discussion?
I think the committee is populated well generally now. I think the notion that a coach who ends up on the outside says, well, there's bias, that's not verifiable. That might be an opinion. The college football playoff has done a pretty good job of researching opinions about the selection committee, and it has a very high level of credibility. Now, I think the threat is you assume that's constant and universal, and you're not adapting. So then I'll go deeper. We looked at recusal policies more deeply this year because you want to deal with bias issues and remove people from that conversation. We also have to understand there were some losses that informed last year's decisions and some key losses. Mm-hmm. My concern is not about the people, because one of the commentaries is, well, the NFL doesn't select its playoff teams through a committee, nor does the NBA, nor does Major League Baseball, nor does the NHL. I could go on and on. That's exactly correct. But we do in college basketball. We do in college baseball. We do in college softball. We do that across the board, because there's so many programs. There's so many teams entered in that a selection committee has been deemed appropriate. We do that in college football, so it's not something out of the norm. Now, in college basketball, it's only athletics directors and conference commissioners. In the CFP selection committee, there are no conference commissioners. So one of the statements made by someone was, commissioners shouldn't be on the committee. They're not on the committee. We do have athletics directors, and those athletics directors have been embedded in the game. They're living the football life along with their football program. Some of them have coached or played. You have outsiders. You have former players that come in, some NFL players, highly credible. You have media members. You had Condoleezza Rice, who understands football and makes a contribution. So we've tried to balance this notion that it's kind of an inside club with bringing outside participants in. Now, how can we build transparency? That's an interesting question. Should – you know, we don't see everybody's vote on everything, and I'm not sure that you should. I think what the committee has to look at as we start these rankings in early November, they need to make sure they're looking at those and the way they're assigned, that the protocols follow, that we have the right protocol in place. I think that's a lot more important.
Yeah. Would getting rid of early rankings, like preseason rankings, help?
That's interesting. I don't think so. It's a nice little promotional platform, you know, and then you're going to show up the last week and say, okay, here it is. And everybody's got their own polls going, and then you just dump that. I think you have to lead into shaping expectations. What I do think has changed a little bit, as you go back to 2014, 15, 16, 17, 18, there was a lot of week-to-week movement. And the committee represents that each week we're taking a fresh look. The last couple of years, there has not been as much week-to-week movement as teams are evaluated. And that's where I think more time on protocol and how that's deployed is important.
They're wrapping us up. Greg Sankey, thank you much. I do want you to brag a little bit, y'all. He went to the Truist for the first time.
Yeah.
To the All-Star festivities. What'd you think?
I thought it was great. Just the ballpark itself and walking around kind of that gallery of Hall of Fame, if you will, honoring the traditions of baseball here in Atlanta, was cool to see. Plus, there was fans, and it was a nice place to sit. I walked all around. Our host for the All-Star game itself. I was with our sponsor, T-Mobile, for the Home Run Derby. And just talking to Derek about all that's been done, the move to that location, the development, the opportunities in the future. It was great to see, great to be hosted. I got to spend some time with Rob Manfred. I had a really cool Tuesday All-Star game. I went last year in Dallas. Last year I kind of sat out in a suite. This year I was with Derek and his group for the first half. Got to spend time with Chipper Jones, Andrew Jones, got to meet. And then the last four innings was up with the commissioner of Major League Baseball talking about baseball issues and enjoying the game from a different perspective. The Hank Aaron tribute was special. And just remember, I was about 10 years old when he hit that home run. And I think Vin Scully was doing the broadcast, so you got to tune in. People forget we didn't have cable the same way, so it was a great memory to see that and honor what Hank did and who he was.
Love it. You just lit up when you talked about all that. That's
yeah,
great,
that was
great
fun.
Baseball fan. Greg, thank you so much.
Thank
and
you.
I know your time is tied here.
I
and
still
great,
have questions.
Great job.
Still
great,
have questions.
Great. Be quiet, Bo. We're with like a real important person here. We got it. You're awesome. Thank you, Greg. Have a great rest of the trip here today, and we're winding things down. It's been a great event. Congratulations.
Great. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. All right, you guys, we'll be back. We're going to do a little three strikes and talk about the ESPYs last night, play a couple jokes, lighten the mood, and it's all things the Steakhouse on the game.
Shedeur Sanders had his jersey number retired at Colorado this year, and people are saying it's because of nepotism, because of his father, and it's not. It's because he went 13-12 over his career, and he almost won the Alamo Bowl. Definitely not nepotism, right? All right.
Hey, that was Shane Gillis last night hosting the ESPYs. If you heard, like, little bit of laughter because people were so freaked out they didn't know what to do, Bo. But Squid Billy's here with me. We're wrapping things up. Andy and Randy are standing above us. They're about to do their thing. Yeah. Did you watch the ESPYs?
No, I watched some of his monologue.
Yeah, it was funny.
I'm a big Shane Gillis fan, yep. For the record. Yep. So he's got a great show on Netflix called Tires. He's that Kill Tony podcast. He is hilarious. If you like political impersonations, he, to me, probably does one of the best ones I've ever seen.
Yeah.
He's just not afraid either. And I think that's what the problem, we've lost our sense of humor in some ways. Like, look, there are things that are inappropriate, but I'm not going to go on a rant, but let me go on a mini rant. But we have also, in that time frame, comedians used to be allowed to go places that you knew it was for comedic purposes only, and it did not necessarily represent that person's thoughts, right? It was kind of like a disclaimer that we all knew was there. We've lost a lot of that. Shane Gillis is a guy that if you watch, he kind of has that old school feel like the kings of comedy, that I'm going to go here, cancel me if you want to, I'll get back. Remember, Shane Gillis was canceled at one point in time, and he's had one of the greatest comebacks that we can remember. And he's actually helped bring a brand back and that we know about that I don't want to mention that there's sponsors at some point that kind of hit it. And now he's been a part of that. Those commercials he has with the who's the rap guy that now does country music? Post Malone. He's in those commercials. He's like, hey, you can't drink on a beer commercial. Is it really? Yeah, and then they start counting down, and the commercial cuts away as they get to one. Hey, Shane Gillis is brilliant. So I was glad to see him get up there and even tell jokes or talk about jokes that they had deleted on the teleprompter.
Right, right. we're going to play a little bit more of that for you. We got our three strike. First of all, I have to talk about a lot of sponsors. This hour is brought to you by WiseGuysProWash.com. Bo had them out. Absolutely loved them. So don't just take my word for it. They are really, really great at what they do. All of our college football talk was brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Greg Sankey, the whole interview will be up on our Odyssey app, so please go to that as well. Your game of the night, brought to you by John Foy, is not really a game because there is none. So Netflix, the quarterback, wrapping it up. That's what I'm going to watch tonight. So,
yeah, and I'm watching the Open Championship. British Open is what I call it.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. Yes, yes.
So it's the British Open. They don't get to tell me what
you
to call
them,
Bo.
You get them, mister.
Yeah, we fought for our independence, and I'll call it the British Open if I want to.
All right. I'm going to give you the three strikes questions. Please call in and give us your answers. 404-726-0929. You get to go to dinner with two college football coaches. Who are you going with? Two of them. Okay. Your go-to cocktail. And if it, in fact, it's a daiquiri or some sort of frosty, be man up or woman up and say, that's what I'm drinking. And last but not least, are you going to watch more college football or more NFL this season? Just like maybe from your living room, maybe live in person. But you're going to watch one or the other and tell us what it is because I'm super curious. 404-726-0929. A couple of things. Dave Portnoy reportedly is joining the Big Noon kickoff for Fox. They are blowing it up over there. They've got a restart. So it'll be Portnoy versus McAfee. What are your thoughts? What do you think?
I'm going to say this, where I don't mind Dave Portnoy. He does not bother me like he does some.
That's the same for McAfee. But, like, they're strong personalities. Yeah. Somebody's going to have it. Yeah.
I don't mind them, but I don't want either one on my college football show. I don't love McAfee on College Game Day. I want to hear Nick Saban talk on College Game Day. I appreciate McAfee, but I don't want to hear him. I just don't. With all due respect, he's a punter, and at times, like, I think he talks about things that he doesn't know about, and I think he is. I trust his take on professional wrestling more, and I don't mean to be a jerk about it because people don't have to listen to me. I don't know anything. I didn't play it at a high level.
Yeah, but I'm going to argue with that on he's a punter. That's not fair because you're doing a sports talk and you never
played
sports.
I'm a girl, and I really have no business talking about
sports.
But I study everything there is. The guy is at a WWE event on Friday night.
Yeah.
and then he shows up. Like, I know he does the show. I would rather hear Nick Saban talk about it than that. I'd rather hear, and I'm not a, I don't like the person as a person, but I'd rather hear Urban Meyer talk about the gameplay. I also don't need entertainment, and we talked about it as entertaining. I think those guys can be entertaining enough. I think what happened was that, and I love the guy to death, but they were searching when they got rid of Pollock and Corso couldn't do the full show. They were searching for a way to add something in.
Well, they're trying to get younger. I mean, they're not even trying to – they're not trying to hide it. They want a younger audience.
Tell me this. What is Dave Portnoy going to bring to the Big Noon Kickoff?
He's
other than
funny, and he has a big personality. I mean, I get – you get why they're doing it.
I get why – I know. I completely understand.
Yeah.
And I've gotten to the age, I guess, now where I have to remind myself, if you don't – it's like what do they say about the new styles? If you don't get it, it's not for you.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what some of those shows have become for me. They're not for me because they're going away from what I want to hear. Like I tune into – I have both of them on my TV. I have two TVs in my basement. I think everybody knows that. And I have them on each show. And I flip the remotes, mute, unmute, unmute on which one has it. When Saban does his breakdown of games, I have the volume turned up so where if Amy yelled my name to come do something, I couldn't hear her because I want to hear it that bad because he's so good at it.
Yeah, good.
And look, I like both those guys away from those shows.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm a little bit of a curmudgeon.
I think you've changed that you've had a kid now. I think you're sleep deprived and all the oxygen is going to your brain. I'm just calling it like I see it. But that's just me. Full phone lines for three strikes. We're going to get to it quickly, but I do want to play this other stuff about Belichick from Shane Gillis last night on the ESPYs because I thought this was hilarious.
A bookie is what Bill Belichick reads to his girlfriend before bedtime. They do. They read The Very Horny Caterpillar. The little engine that could but needed a pill first. And, of course, the classic Goodnight Boobs. That was my favorite one.
Oh, is that funny?
Also, I'm not trashing Bill Belichick. First off, he's 73 years old and he's dating a hot 24-year-old. And people are criticizing him? What happened to this country? It used to be a great country. He won 6 Super Bowls? Yeah. He's dating a hot 24-year-old. Maybe if you guys won 6 Super Bowls, you wouldn't be sitting next to a fat, ugly dog wife. They let me do it. I don't know. Yeah, we should have taken that out.
Y'all, they pan the audience, and people, like you said, they weren't sure if they should laugh or not. He was hilarious, and I'm sorry if that offends y'all. It was funny. I thought it was fantastic. So good for you, Shane. I enjoyed it. And then I quickly turned away from it because then the award part of it is so brutal juice. The Lee Corso was great.
Yeah.
And if y'all can find that on our internets, on the YouTubes, because they brought out the USC band, and it was Pat McAfee and Kirk. It was a really nice.
I'm glad they did that for Lee because he has given so much to the game.
He's so great.
He made, like, him and Herb Street made that show.
Yeah,
Lee Corso was
them.
So good with his stuff back in the day.
I totally agree. Okay, we ready for three strikes, you guys? 404-726-0929. Bo, I want you to answer first. If you're two coaches you're going to dinner with, who's the two?
Active coaches?
Just whoever.
Because I would tell you right now, probably Kirby Smart and Dabo would be fun to go to dinner with.
Yeah.
Because you would get both sides of the spectrum, and there would be a lot of talking. And it would all sound like people that I grew up with, probably.
Go-to cocktail.
I have a couple. Transfusion is one of them. It's a golf course one.
Yep.
I'm a vodka crayon guy, and I also love a White Russian.
Wow.
But I don't consider a whiskey on the rocks a cocktail. That's a drink to me. That's not a cocktail.
You going to watch more? I know the answer already. More NFL or more college this year? But
College.
Yep.
Because I can watch more games in a day. The NFL, I'm at a game.
Yep.
And a lot of times it affects how much of the league I can actually watch.
Gotcha. All right, let's go to the phones. Full phone lines. Thanks, you guys. 404-726-0929. Breakfast Barry. Hi, Barry. Good morning.
Hey, Sandy. How you doing?
I'm doing awesome. Who are you going to dinner with? Two college football coaches.
I'm going to go. My daughter went to Alabama, and I got to meet it when I was a little kid. But I'm going to go Bear Bryant old school. And then I'm going to go current with Kirby Smart because I'd like to hear the different perspectives of old versus new.
Y'all going to go about 4:30 if you're going with Bear Bryant, right? Like, just get that blue plate special and love it.
You better take, like, three bottles of whiskey.
Don't be like that.
He was a big golfer, too.
Go-to cocktail. I know that Barry is in great job of giving up stuff, so good for you.
Yes. Well, before I gave up, transfusions were the golf. I agree. But now that I don't, it's Arnold Palmer's. They're nice and satisfying.
More NFL or more college?
Definitely more college. All college, actually. I cannot wait for this season. Should be
Me
a
too.
Lot of fun. Thanks,
Barry.
Sandy. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Okay?
Thank you. Hi, Kareem in Atlanta. Good morning to you. Who are you going to dinner
Lovely
with?
Lovely Miss Sandra and Bo. Real quick, great interview with Sankey Sandra. You really are a journalist.
Journalist?
Bo, yesterday, I love Tony Barnhart. I miss Tony Barnhart.
I know.
Going to dinner, give me Lane Kiffin when he used to drink and Marcus Freeman from Notre Dame.
Listen, that Marcus Freeman was on Good Morning America. He is put together. Put together. Your go-to cocktail?
Kettle One and soda.
More NFL or college this year you're going to watch?
College. But I'm watching my Falcons, but college any day of the week.
Good stuff. Thank you, hon. Have a great day. Tinker. Hi, Tinker in Kennesaw. Good morning. Who you going to supper? Who you going to supper with, Tinker? Two college football coaches.
I'd like to go with Mark Rick and Petrino, and after dinner, take Petrino out in the backyard. Whooping him like a red-headed stepchild.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tinker just won three strikes. So there we go. Go-to cocktail, Tinker.
I like a good bullet rye old-fashioned.
Oh, nice.
That's a good drink.
More NFL or more college?
NFL.
That's interesting. I love this. Mike Bell's neighbor's on the phone. Hi, Mike Bell's neighbor.
Yeah, good morning. How you doing, beautiful?
Oh, you're so sweet. Who are you going to supper with? Two college football coaches.
The late Woody Hayes and Coach Prime. I think that would be a hell of a combination.
No, that
I mean,
would.
Coach Prime.
That would be, that would
I'm
be
going
some talking.
With, I'm going with Dion and I'm going with Lane Kiffin. And that, you know, ladies and gentlemen, is a good night out. That's what I'm saying.
I think Kirby and Lane would be fun, too.
Yeah, I think so, too. Your go-to cocktail, Mike Bell's neighbor.
Since Will Billy said I can't do tequila on the rocks, give me a good margarita or a Bloody Mary.
There you go.
Good stuff. More college or NFL this year that you're watching?
Unfortunately, because of fantasy football, it's going to be more NFL.
Gotcha. Good stuff. Thank you. Marine Tim, thank you for your service, and welcome in to the steakhouse. Who are you going to supper with? College football coaches.
I would go with Kirby Smart and Brent Keyes. Just to hear what they said to each other at the end of that game.
Oh, that's a good one.
That is a very good one. Yeah.
Eight
I love Brent Keyes.
Overtimes.
Too.
Are we just not really thinking about that enough? Because that was the. Can you imagine the repercussions if Georgia Tech would have won that game?
Yeah.
Woo,
well,
girl. All right, sorry. I digress. What's your go to cocktail?
Pineapple margarita from Huey Louie's.
Pineapple margarita, that sounds good. You're watching more college or more NFL?
College.
Good stuff. All right, I think we got to wrap it up. I'm interested in that question because that's always, it's not that which one you do like more or you enjoy more, but literally you're sitting down in front of your TV on a Saturday or a Sunday. What are you watching more? So
yeah,
stuff,
no, I think it's interesting because I would watch – I sit down, if I'm at home that day, I start watching college, the game days I told you about, and then literally go from noon till whenever I go to bed that night,
right.
And there's college football on. And if
right.
I drive somewhere, I've either got it on the radio, or if I'm sitting down somewhere outside of my house, I've got it on my phone, or I take my iPad with me. I mean, we go to my neighbor's house, he's got two TVs, and I take my iPad still to have a third game. I just love the sport of college football.
Yeah. I think I can't wait. Doesn't it get you so fired up? Okay, Andy and Randy are up next. They're here and ready to go. Gordon, thank you so much for all your help this week. I totally love. I wish I was around you more. You make me smile. Bo, thank you for staying. That's a long 6 hours of talking. We've had an absolute blast. Bo and Dom, the Dom, back at the house. We appreciate everybody in studio tomorrow. I mean. Mark Zeno and Rusty Mansell, are you cereal right now?
When two worlds collide.
Andy and Randy are up next. Have a great day, everybody. Be kind.